This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. I'd like to thank everyone for signing up for this page and continue to encourage family and friends, inshallah, to join this private group by going to quran.bayina.com/Ramadan2016. I got that right. A few questions, lots of questions that you guys sent in. Here's the chance to go through some of them with you guys, inshallah. Yusra Yareen writes, why is fasting so special in this month? How is it related with the revealing of the Qur'an, especially in this month? Well, it's related to it because the Qur'an started coming down in Laylatul Qadr, and Laylatul Qadr is a night of this month. And so, إِنَّا أَنزَلَّهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, we sent it down in the night of power. That's actually why this month is in particular special. Somebody asked, actually Samina Dean asked, my 12-year-old is struggling to fast during these summer months. She's already said that she can't do them. Please advise. I wouldn't be hard on kids. If she's saying that she won't be able to do it and she's scared, there's no reason to force her right now. I would say just go easy on her in the beginning. Maybe have her fast half the day. The next day do a little bit more. And take a day off if she started crying or something. But you don't want to take a 12-year-old and make them feel traumatized because they had to fast. Inshallah ta'ala, the time will come. And this is the kind of ease that the Prophet ﷺ would give to people who took shahada in his own time. We can give that kind of ease to our children. We don't have to be hard and fast and very difficult with them about their worship. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll ease them into it. There's a mom, Maryam, who said that, I remember my last Taraweeh in 2005. I'm always missing Taraweeh prayer in congregation during Ramadan because I have little kids. So I do pray at home. Do I have the same reward as the person who prays in congregation? Maryam and all the moms that are out there that are busy with children and not able to make Taraweeh, I would like to tell you that you are as, if not more, rewarded, because you're doing so much more than other people. Constantly taking care of your children is an act of worship by itself. And Taraweeh is not an obligation. It really isn't. So it's an added benefit for the community. And if you're not able to do so, it's not like you're in sin or you're missing out on rewards that you cannot earn on your own, especially if you're moms, inshallah. So I wouldn't be down about that. If you like to go because it gives you a sense of peace and you're with the rest of the community and you enjoy listening to the recitation of Quran, those are all great things. And if you're able to go, inshallah, every once in a while, that's good for you. And if you're not, don't feel bad about it, inshallah. Allah knows your situation better than we do, and He's certainly more understanding than we are. So, and sometimes other people make you feel bad for not going without even understanding your situation. So don't let that get to you, inshallah. Just, be yourself and do whatever you can, and Allah knows. Hafsa Shabir, I'll summarize her question. Said, should I be asking for specific things, like I want this job or this car, or should I be general about it, like open-ended, and say, Ya Allah, just give me good? My recommendation would be to be open-ended with Allah and say, Ya Allah, if this is good for me, put it in my path and make it easy for me. May Allah make this difficulty easy for me. You know what I'm going through. Because a lot of times we, in fact, don't know whether something is good for us or not. We tell ourselves that, but we're not sure, right? So it's just better for you to to take your time and ask Allah in a way that is, best suited for you, because we trust that He knows better than we do. Hanan asked a pretty interesting question. Why is a woman not allowed to pray while she's in her period because she's unclean? So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create something that's unclean in a way that can't be changed? Actually, it feels like a curse. So Hanan, the answer to your question is Allah never called the menstruation of a woman filth or dirty. He actually called it a period of pain. He told the believers, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. They ask you about the time of menstruation. Tell them it is pain. So first of all, men are told to be more accommodating to women and to recognize that they're in a period of difficulty. And this is something that Allah created to create, in أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. He knows how He creates and He knows very well who He created. But to think that this is a curse is certainly not the case. And the fact that you can't fast in those days or you can't pray in those days in no way actually takes away from your rank before Allah. And Allah Himself says that, بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ, the ayah in which good deeds are mentioned, Allah actually put men and women side by side. لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. I don't waste the good deed of anyone among you that does good deeds, whether they be male or female. So that's actually the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla on this matter. Interesting insight from Sabrina. Her name is Sabrina Salmeen. I have a question based on the story of Musa alayhi salam, where he repented and Allah forgave him because he had accidentally, you know, he punched someone and they died. He didn't mean to kill them, but they had died. He later still had to face the brunt of killing someone wrongly by having to flee from his own land. There was this shoot to kill order. That's right. There was a shoot to kill order for him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us, is it possible that we still have to face consequences of our sins in worldly life? That is in fact true. We do have to face the consequences of our sins in worldly life. That's, you know, because you may have committed a crime and you hurt someone and you made a istighfar to Allah, but there still may be worldly consequences. Those two things are separated from each other. So people may not forgive you, but Allah has. And that's in the Akhirah, right? And that's something that's actually alluded to in multiple places in the Quran. We have to face the consequences of our actions in this world, but turning back to Allah and repenting to Allah is actually saving ourselves from the consequences of our actions in the next life. Now let's go on. Let's see. So many. Wow, you guys write a lot of questions. There's a few of you that asked these. I'll just take Nani Ismail's question and use that as a representation. How does one stay in a state of istiqamah, meaning constancy, yet battling the ups and downs of their faith? Look, like the Prophet ﷺ told, alhamdulillah, sa'atan wa sa'atan, sa'atan wa sa'atan, sa'atan wa sa'atan. Like, your faith will go up and down. It's going to come, like, you're not a hypocrite because of it. You can't always be on a high. Even in Ramadan, there's going to be times where you're going to have a low. Don't be so hard on yourself. Like, this is when people expect perfection from themselves is when they mess up the most. This deen is not about being perfect. This deen is, like, Allah gave this deen for human beings. And so they can do their best and actually to do better than they used to be able to do. So just improve on what you've done before, pick up from your mistakes, but don't expect that you'll constantly have istiqamah. Some ways that you can be more firm in your deen, in your spirituality, is of course the easy, the passive way is good company. And you know, an easier way is reflection on Qur'an, listening to something beneficial. If you don't understand the Qur'an, just listen to an explanation of it. Listen to something like, you know, start reciting prayers. Read the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ. Those are just some easy things that can keep you spiritually connected, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. This is a really good one. How do I stay motivated to constantly crave or want more words from Allah? Sometimes I'll go through a surah and feel like I already know it, what's being said. This is a question by Fathia Jama. I'll tell you that, you know, I'm now, this time in my life, I'm studying more Quran than I ever had in, you know, ever. And I take a lot of breaks. I take a lot of breaks in my study of Quran because I don't want to keep on studying, lose concentration. I have limited like time that I can pay attention. So if I'm studying for an hour, 40 minutes, whatever it is, I actually necessarily take a break. I necessarily check out mentally because I want to come back fresh to it. And I'm actually mostly studying now surahs that I've studied for many, many years. And I'm discovering that I feel like I didn't know these surahs at all. Like, one of the things I had to mentally train myself to do was not ever underestimate the Quran and never think of it like any other book. You know, we say that, but we don't really internalize what that means. Like, when you've read a book, you can say, yeah, I've read it, I don't want to read it again. I've watched this movie, I don't want to watch it again. I've seen this show, I don't want to see it again. I've seen this video, I don't want to see it again. But with Quran, man, have I discovered, when you go back to that same exact surah that you've read so many times, and you actually decide to ponder and reflect and stop and think, you'll see things you never saw before. You'll learn things you've never learned before. And I can guarantee you that same exact surah that I just engrossed myself in, when I come back to it a couple of days from now, there'll be more things I see. Like just today, actually, after having studied Ayatul Kursi for so long, I mean, I've been studying that ayah, I come back to it all the time. Just as I was sharing it with students today, something new came forward. You know, like by the end of that surah, Allah says, وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Right, that guarding the skies and the earth does not exhaust him, does not tire him. And he's the ultimately high, the great. You know, the order of those two last phrases in the surah or in that ayah in Ayatul Kursi is so amazing. Because when someone guards something, okay, so when someone's guarding something, they are, you know, kind of like in a lower position. Like a king doesn't guard his castle, the security guards guard the castle, you know. the soldiers guard the king. The king doesn't guard the soldiers. It's not the other way around. But Allah says He guards the skies and the earth. وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا And guarding them doesn't tire Him. But at the moment you start thinking of the idea of guardianship or guarding, you think of someone who's in a lesser position instead of a higher position, and He corrects that right away because you cannot think about Allah like you think about creation. He says, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيَ And He's the ultimately high, the great. You know, the words of loftiness and height are used immediately so that we understand that Allah in His high position still chooses to guard this entire creation, the entirety of the skies and the earth. The point, the reason I'm saying all of this is because this is the beauty of Quran. Keep going back to it and you'll discover newer and newer things. And these are just priceless treasures that none of us can ever have enough of. This is a really interesting question. This is by Cecile Boudaoud. I hope I didn't mispronounce your name. How can we take the ayat about the Prophet ﷺ or about a particular situation, the Israelites in Medina, Christians praying at the masjid, etc., for ourselves, meaning a guidance for our lives, practically speaking? That takes reflection, and it's something that the Quran highlights so much, right? It's talking so much about historical accounts and events, and you start thinking, is this book talking about me or, you know, all these old times? But fihi dhikrukum, and it is your mention. It's talking about stuff that's relevant to you. So it takes actually quite a bit of pondering, reflection, and thinking to realize that when Allah is talking about the Israelites or some event or the Battle of Badr or something, that it's, unless you're in a battle, this ayah doesn't apply to you. It's not like that. There are insights, wisdoms, timeless treasures inside all of those ayat that are immediately applicable. And actually, one of my hopes when I teach you guys this Ramadan, inshallah, is to highlight the timeless value of the study of history through Surah Al-Baqarah. There's so much history in Surah Al-Baqarah, and how many like timeless lessons have been taught through it. And that, you know, then I start thinking, why teach these lessons through history? Why not just teach them just directly? You know, why teach, for example, why teach about patience through history? Why teach about sincerity through history, through a story? Why not just talk about sincerity or talk about patience? The wisdom in that is, a story is so much easier to remember. It's so much easier to recall. And Allah Azza wa Jalla does that. He tells us these accounts so we can remember them, and through them remember the timeless lessons that are associated with them. Let's see, just a couple more, inshallah. And we'll see each other again. As I promised, I will be, you know, time and time again, I'll capture some of your questions with my team and try to address as many of them as I can, bithillah. This is a very painful question, Sister Aniza Atiyar Abiz Zakaria. I hope I did not butcher your name. I apologize. I have been left alone by my adult children for the past 4 years, and every Ramadan I'm doing things alone. I feel close to Allah, but I still cry for my children and pray for them to get tawfiq and hidayah. Is it wrong to still hope for them and for them to return to me, or should I care less about them and continue with my closeness to Allah? What you feel for them is what every mother feels for a child. You're not guilty for doing so, you're not wrong for doing so, you're not impatient for doing so. If a prophet like Yaqub alayhi salam can cry for his child for many, many years because he's separated ways from his child and he's been severed from his child, you're not to be held accountable for, you know, for feeling sad towards your children. And we all pray, all of us that are listening to this, pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives guidance to your children and all of our children and reunite your family, inshallah. But yeah, certainly it's not something for you to lose hope in, but don't get overwhelmed by it either. You can't control people. At the end of the day, sabrun jameel, like when Yaqub alayhi salam was parted from Yusuf alayhi salam, he didn't just say, I'm going to be patient. He said, beautiful patience, right? He added the word jameel because there's nothing beautiful about the situation. So the use of the word is very powerful because Allah is, through it, you know, Yaqub alayhi salam is saying, the only thing beautiful left in my life now is patience. Because through it, Allah will bring me beautiful things. And so may Allah bring beautiful things into your life through your patience. Bi-idhnillah. Sister just asked to make dua for her because she's fighting cancer as she's watching right now. We all make dua that Allah give you complete shifa as though it was never there. Actually, some of our staff even in Bayina were battling it, and Allah Azza wa Jalla healed them and has given them recovery from it. May Allah continue to preserve them as well. And for all of you that are suffering from disease, may Allah Azza wa Jalla alleviate your disease and the time that you're going through this disease. May Allah make it a means for your sins to be forgiven, inshallah ta'ala. So that's it, inshallah. Maybe another time we'll sit together for some more interesting questions. Jazakumullahu khairan. I will give you guys a heads up. If you guys ask me like fiqh questions and stuff, I very openly declared I am not a fiqh. I won't be able to answer your legal questions, but there are imams and sheikhs that can answer those kinds of questions. If you have interesting Quran questions or anything else I can try and help with, I certainly will. If I don't know the answer to your question, I'll just say I don't know, or I won't be able to address it either, inshallah. But hope to continue to benefit yourselves and myself. Good to see you guys again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.